Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Be blessed with a quiet heart today. I know there's a lot going on around and in this country, but be blessed with a quiet heart. God is taking care of everything that concerns you. And Proverbs 14, verse 30 says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body." So how we think, it transfers over into our body. If we're bitter, if we're angry, that affects our body, the bloodstream, the organs, everything. So let's choose to be positive and be full of joy no matter what happens. I'm so blessed that God is blessing my power partners and everyone who's listening who chooses to have a joyful life. God bless you. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And if you would like to listen to radio shows, you can go to freedomstreet.org and you can click on radio shows. And yesterday I entitled Kimberly's message, "Mice, Infection, and Kitchen Renovations." And we're going to find out from her some of the things that she was talking about. And you can also go online and there's a little donation button if you're enjoying the teaching, especially on Wednesdays with Kimberly on the air with me. It's just a joy to have co-host on the air. So, remember that. Go to the donate button and donate to Call to Freedom. God bless you. And welcome again to the broadcast, Kimberly.
Oh, thank you. I did realize that when I mentioned infections and mice and kitchen renovations, that I had given examples of what's going on in my life and how God is showing me how to find rest in the midst of chaos and confusion and suffering. And that is the process of this whole life, is trying to find rest with Him. He has provided that. So yesterday when we were talking about God's plan to reconcile bad feelings, I was putting that in the context of Matthew 5, 23 and 24, when you're presenting your offering at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled, and then come back.
Yes.
And so reconciling these bad feelings, you know, sometimes those bad feelings are not our own. This scripture says that you're remembering that your brother has something against you. So we can come up with excuses to not go reconcile. We might not want to reconcile when it's someone else's problem, right? It's not mine. That's not my problem. That's His problem.
That's right. Yes.
And that's not what God is asking us to do. You know, when somebody else is treating us poorly, He's saying, go ahead and leave your offering and go see if that can be reconciled. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19, we brought that up too. Mm-hmm. It says that God reconciled us to Himself, and He's showing us just how far He will go to make it right with us.
Yes.
He will go so far as to give up His beloved Son, His only Son, and cover us in forgiveness. This is while we're still sinners. Mm-hmm. You know, so when we look at how far God is willing to go to reconcile and to make it right, mm-hmm. not counting our trespasses against us. And He has given us, this is the message of 2 Corinthians 5, 19. He's given the ministry of reconciliation to us.
Yes.
So So he wants us to be like him. And he knows that we cannot do this on our own. We can't find this place of rest. This is hard. That's a hard thing to do. We're seeing more and more what a miracle love is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
True love is such a miracle. And finding a heart that is at peace, that will bring life, like you read from Proverbs 14, mm-hmm. that's a miracle. You have to have a new heart and a new mind. So I wanted to look at some of the promises that God has given us to reconcile bad feelings and to enter this place of rest. And so today I just want to remind us that he knows what we need. We need a new heart. We need a new mind. And we need his help. So three things. We need a new heart, we need a new mind, and we need his help.
That's right.
And he has provided all three of those things for us. The first time that we hear about God giving us a new heart in the New Testament, but the first time that we hear a reference of receiving a new heart is in 1 Samuel 10. It's in the Old Testament. And this is when Samuel was anointing Saul to be king. When he met Samuel and had a conversation with Samuel and then started telling, or I'm sorry, Samuel and Saul, when Samuel was talking to Saul, he was telling Saul exactly what would happen to him and the people that he would encounter the next day. He was describing the trip to him. When you get to the Terebinth, when you get to the hill, you'll go around the hill, you'll meet a group of men. You know, it was prophetic words of what would come to Saul just to prove this is God
who is anointing you king.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then he says to Saul, you will become another man. And as Saul turned around to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart.
Yes.
So he has the gift of a new heart given to him in the Old Testament. Here's an example of God giving a man a new heart. And I'm just curious to know what Saul did with that heart. What did Saul do with the new heart he was given? I'm curious about that because we can read what happened to Saul. And in the end of his life, he was a tormented man.
Yes. But at the beginning, part of this story here at the very beginning of 1 Samuel 10 tells us that Saul was not used to being in the eye of the camera. Well, they didn't have cameras in those days, but the focus of mm-hmm. the whole country. And he was sent to find his father's donkeys. I mean, that was his job. He was, mm-hmm. It was agricultural, and his father had lost the donkeys, and you go find the donkeys. Well, then Samuel comes around, and he says, I'm anointing you king. Kimberly, that's got to be overwhelming, absolutely overwhelming.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Do you have that? I have my Tanakh version, but I think you're the version that you might have in front of you. Mm-hmm. If you start in verse 9 of 1 Samuel 10, uh-huh. I don't know how much of it you have in front of you there.
I got the whole thing.
The whole thing. Okay. So
got
would
the
you
whole
read 9?
Ball of wax.
Wonderful. Would you go ahead and read 9 through 16?
Sure. And at this point, Samuel told Saul, 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. So he's already teaching Saul what Saul needs to focus on, what's important to him. And here in the 9th verse, so it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart, a new heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. So he knew that he was seeing a true, as the Old Testament says in some places, a true seer or a prophet. He knew this man was from God. When they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it happened when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, "What is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" Now, there weren't many prophets coming from the Benjamin tribe, so they weren't used to this. And then a man from there answered and said, "But who is their father?" Therefore, it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" And when, this is verse 13 of 1 Samuel 10. "And when he had finished prophesying, he went to the high place. Then Saul's uncle said to him and his servant, 'Where did you go?' He said, 'To look for the donkeys. When we saw that they were nowhere to be found, we went to Samuel.' And Saul's uncle said, 'Tell me, please, what Samuel said to you.' So Saul said to his uncle, 'He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found, but about the matter of the kingdom, he did not tell him what Samuel had said.'" You know, this was something he had to mull over for a while. You know, like when you hear a good thing, Kimberly, you got to pray about it and ask God.
It had already been done, though. He had already been anointed. And I can see how you would need a little time for that to set in. What I love, thank you for pointing out that Samuel told him to wait mm-hmm. 7 days until mm-hmm. I come to you. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm seeing is that he's been given an instruction to wait. He has been anointed king. When his uncle asked him, "What did Samuel tell you?" Saul did not give him the whole truth. And then just a few verses down, a little bit later than this, Samuel is wanting to pull Saul forward and show him, bring him before the Israelites. And Saul goes and hides in the baggage.
I know.
I think we're seeing some old patterns, actually. I'm just looking at this and saying, okay, he's been given a new heart. But now, when he was asked what the prophet told him, he's not giving the full truth. So even though he has a new heart, he's hiding something.
Well, that's just us after we receive the Lord Jesus. You know, he's our Savior. Well, is he your Lord? It takes years, Kimberly, for some
people.
For
him to become Lord, right?
It does.
I agree. I'm just looking at the process that mm-hmm. God wants to walk with us through, you know, in this mm-hmm. process. And Saul appeared to keep choosing the old patterns. That's what it appears to look like. You know, Saul was told that it's, you know, time to come out in front of the Israelites, so he goes and hides. And he was told to wait, but he decides that he wants to be, he didn't see Samuel coming. And so he decides he wants to take over and present the sacrifice himself, since Samuel's not there yet. So he doesn't tell the whole truth. He hides. He doesn't wait when he's been told to wait. I just want to take this as a lesson for myself to just keep waiting. It's the process that God is interested in. Not that we are doing everything perfectly, but when we make a mistake, are we willing to say, "Oh, I've made a mistake"? And that's the heart of David. David is the one who said, "Oh, I did this wrong." When people confronted David, he would just tell the whole truth. Mm-hmm. "Yep, I was wrong. I was so wrong." And repent and go to his face and say, "God, forgive me." You know, mm-hmm. so the heart of David was in the process agreeing with God, where Saul was here trying to hide, trying to do it his way, not telling mm-hmm. the whole truth. And it seemed to be a pattern.
Yeah, I want to say right now that in chapter 10 of 1 Samuel, he waited 7 days. Saul did. Mm-hmm. And then Samuel brought all the people together when he came back. Then in chapter 11, 12 is when power overtook Saul. And then he was told by Samuel to wait 7 days, just like he had done previously in the 10th chapter. And Saul knew what it was. He knew Samuel had come within those 7 days, years later, or years earlier, or maybe just a year, or maybe even 6 months. But he disobeyed him. Yeah, you're absolutely right. He disobeyed him in that command. And mm-hmm. so the power and the pride and everything overtook him, as we see in people today that are in high office.
Well, and me. I'm not even in a high office, but I can admit, I can own it, that those old patterns are strong and mm-hmm. they want to keep coming back. And so, you know, that's what I was talking about yesterday. The mice came back. You know, I thought I was done with those old thought patterns. And yeah, the old thought patterns came back and chewed right through my patch on my wall.
Yeah, I thought the song was, "And the cat came back." I thought he was a goner, but the cat came back.
No, it was the mouse came back.
The mouse came back. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh. God has promised to give us a new heart. We're the ones who get to choose what we do with it.
Mm-hmm.
After we've received our new heart, what are we doing with it? Are we continuing to go back to our same old patterns? Or are we being like David and repenting and saying, "Oh, no, I really don't want the old patterns. I want the new ones. Please help me with this."
Yes.
You know, so that's the mm-hmm. first thing that God promised that I'm looking at today is that new heart. And he also promised to give us a new mind.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
1 Corinthians 2:16 tells us, who can know the mind of the Lord? It asks that question. Who can know the mind of the Lord?
That's right.
Well, you know, just sit with that. Who can know the mind of God? We think we know best how this life is going to go, but who knows the mind of God?
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, but we have the mind of Christ. See, he has given us the mind of Christ. That's amazing. The answer to that question, who can know the mind of the Lord? No one can know his mind.
No, that's right. And it takes years, Kimberly. It's like Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may really know him. Know God. And so many people think they know about him and they talk about him. They don't know him because they haven't gotten alone with him, because they've got to get their ministry started. I mean, this the whole thing, you get the cart before the horse and then it just falls apart as we think we've got ministry. Well, everybody has ministry, no matter what your level is. You've got a ministry to the people around you, but we think we've got to take on a quote big ministry. And we're not ready for it. Just like Saul, he wasn't ready for this huge thing. He wasn't ready for the being king of Israel. Oh, wow.
Well, and maybe it's not, you know, a ministry. Maybe it's a family. Maybe it's a career. Maybe, you know, it's a new home. And whatever agenda we get in our mind that takes the place of just being with God, on God's side, with his dream and his plan in mind. Those old thought patterns keep taking over with those agendas and those motivations in our life. So getting rid of the old thought patterns is not just a one-time event. You know, when this is in 1 Samuel 10, we see that Saul was given a new heart, but that did not change his old patterns.
That's right.
And that was up to him. Like Saul, we choose whether we will walk in our new heart experience or we'll go back to old patterns. The end result is up to God. Where we end up is up to him, and we can't know his mind. We can't know his plan. It's so much bigger than our imagination can conceive.
Yes.
And we can't make ourselves into his image, but we can keep choosing him.
That's right.
Choosing to be in his will, choosing to walk through the doors that he opens and trusting them. He chose to reconcile us with himself when we were at our very worst. That is miraculous to me.
It is. It really is.
I have a friend with a dad who really harmed her in her childhood, and the way he treats her now is just miserable for her. And he is in such a dark place that he's just given up trying to be kind or to be good. He's just given up on life. He doesn't want to live anymore. And she's tormented by all of that.
Now, is she still living with him?
He has disabilities, and so she is kind of a caregiver.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
But I asked her a question. I said, if you were assured of your dad's salvation and you knew he would go to heaven and all would be well with him, could you let him go? Because he's in his early 60s.
Oh my goodness.
And she is really not, she's wrestling with the idea that he's going to be gone soon. And yet she's really having a hard time living with him. That describes a lot of us in our situations, you know. We might be having a hard time with our job, but we don't want to let it go either. You know, it just describes us. And so I had asked her, well, if you knew that he would be okay, could you let him go? And she really started crying, and she revealed her heart. She was just honest. She said, I have to be honest. He doesn't deserve that. So you could see that her heart was hanging on to an idea that he needs to pay. He needs to somehow show her that he's sorry, or whatever she thinks is needed. She's not ready to just let him go and have heaven.
She's not willing to let it go and forgive.
Yeah.
Exactly
well,
what
that,
you were talking about yesterday. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That brings unrest. You know, and sometimes in order to enter rest, we have different ideas. We think somebody needs to really apologize or really pay for what they did to harm us, you know, and that will bring us rest. That's not the true rest.
No, it isn't.
Letting it go is the true rest. Yeah.
Always carrying a grudge and wanting a punishment. Oh, no, that's not God's way either, Kimberly. It is not.
It is not. Yeah. When we want to see someone pay for the damage that they have caused, that's not God's heart.
No.
And he didn't ask us to pay for our sins. He paid for them. He
That's
paid
right.
the greatest price that could possibly be paid in order to cover us. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love is looking more and more like an absolute miracle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
It's
really
a miracle.
Is. It is a miracle.
It's a miracle to have love planted in your heart and to really love others. Because when you've experienced harm from someone else's poor treatment, most of the advice we get is to put up those boundaries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of us never want to be in the presence of the person that does that harm ever again. And, you know, what happens then when you get a text or an email from that person, or when a little reminder comes up that person still exists in this world? What do you do?
And they've got a good life. And look at me.
Yeah.
Oh, that envy and jealousy and anger. And oh, it's just so bad. So bad on the person that's holding that grudge.
Right.
Remember when you and Dana sang that song, It's a Miracle Just to Know Where God Is With Me Wherever I Go?
Right.
It's a miracle. It truly is a miracle. So what are you doing with this friend? Are you just interceding for her right now and praying that Holy Spirit will begin to melt her heart?
And yes, I asked her if she was willing to pray with me and give that to the Lord. And there were a lot of tears, and I've just been staying in touch with her over the weeks and the months, just checking in and finding out how, because she's in the presence of her dad every day.
I know.
You know, so how is that going? And that's why I wanted to bring that up, because some of us are in the presence of a thorn every day, something that just pierces us every day. What are we doing with that? God is wanting us to be like him. And so he's given us a new heart, and he's given us the mind of Christ. Well, how do we receive that mind and keep walking in the new heart creation life, the new creation life?
Yeah,
when
there's
so much harm and suffering around us.
That's right. It takes such courage, Kimberly, to change one career or environment to another one. And that's what it's all about. God says, I want you to risk it. I want you to risk it knowing that I'm going to be with you wherever you go. And
and that's it. I'll be with you wherever you go. There's the third. So the first is a new heart. The second is a new mind. And then God stays with us. That's the third promise that he makes to us to help us through this, to help us become like him and reconcile these bad feelings and come to a place of rest.
That's right.
And Hebrews 13:5 is just one of my favorite passages. And I want to read this from the Amplified.
Amplified, yes.
Because, yes, it's hard to see in most versions that in Hebrews 13, verse 5, there are three times that the negative, like the no, not, never, it comes up three times in the Greek passages. And it's important that we see three times. God, that is the strongest way. That's like putting lots of exclamation points. They didn't have exclamation points back in when they were writing Greek and Hebrew. But when God would have someone write something down three times in a row, that is the strongest emphasis that we can see. And I want to read this, Hebrews 13:5, be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, nor relax my hold on you. Assuredly not.
Praise God. And that verse comes without conditions. Well, if you're a good girl, well, if you do everything I ask you to do, huh? No, God is loving you. And your behavior might not be godly at all, but he loves you. That's a kind of love we don't understand, Kimberly, but God is full of it.
I'm just going to end with the next verse, verse 6 of Hebrews 13. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. And this is where we can choose to lose our life so that we can find true life in him, a life of rest. We can let go of the things that cause us harm and suffering and trust him to bring us his peace that passes our own understanding.
Oh, that has blessed. My whole week is blessed because of that. Thank you so much for all that you've done to bring the message of the gospel of the good news to us this week, Kimberly. Thank you so much.
Oh, and thank you for having me. We just bless all of you with the life of God, with his peace and his rest. Have a wonderful weekend and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.